Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to episode 8 of the Mouth Fist Podcast, Cast. I'm Steve Saunders.
I'm Ryan Speck.
And we're here to entertain the fuck out of you. Actually, we just recorded Mouth Fist Podcast 7.
See, we're already calling back to last episode with mouth pissing and...
That's right. Lot of sex to be had on that one, so... Yeah. Stop listening right now, and we talk about porn for
there are people
a good hour.
Probably still masturbating to the sound of the last episode.
That's true. And so we thought we'd record another short one, mainly as a filler.
Short in the sense that it is the length that episodes are supposed to be.
We may actually record one next week after Ryan gets back from, where are you going? Bangkok, Thailand, fuck kids? What are you doing?
10-year-old Asian girls. As we pointed out, is the proper age for fucking them.
There is nothing wrong with it.
Going to Las Vegas for my sister-in-law's 30th birthday, so...
Sweet.
It's just going to be a short weekend thing, which will be weird. I don't think I've ever been on a trip where I flew somewhere and was back. Like, I'm flying out Friday afternoon, back Monday evening. So it's like really only 2 solid days of being there. So it's going to be strange. I don't think I've ever just jaunted off for a weekend to a place I had to fly to.
That's pretty awesome for a 35th birthday. My 35th birthday is 30th. Essentially a crazy ex-girlfriend story. What's that?
She's turning 30.
Oh, 30. I thought you said 35. I'm like, 30.
Oh, no,
I,
no.
I was
she's,
gonna...
she, no, her and Sharia are the same age, so... Yeah, she's just hitting 30, so since it's a big round number,
right?
Want to go and do Vegas, so leaving the baby with the mother-in-law and heading off to Vegas to do whatever. Not sure what we're doing. I don't think she did a great job of planning it, so I don't know what the fuck we're doing. I know that Sharia's other brother and girlfriend and me and Sharia are going to be seeing Penn and Teller and having dinner at Tom Colicchio's restaurant on Sunday. So there's that.
Nice.
So that will be our big deal while we're there. The rest of it, no idea. It'll be interesting to be in Vegas for the second time during the not slowest week of the year. Last time I was there, it was the slowest week of the entire year and there was virtually no one in Vegas. Now it's going to be crowded and I would say hotter, but the weather is actually supposed to be in the 60s, down from like high 80s to mid 60s while I'm there, which if there were a god or gods, I would think that they really liked me based on the fact that it seems like every time I fly somewhere, the temperature drops by about 10 or 15 degrees when I arrive. I bring the fucking Seattle weather with me wherever I go.
Way to go, asshole.
Shit, I like it. I barely slept. I was sleeping maybe 2 to 4 hours a night when I was in Vegas last time because I was hot and uncomfortable the entire time I was there. So I spent like 4 or 5 days not sleeping. Anyway, this is a really long tangent about how we might record another episode once I get back into town. But yeah, fortunately, yep. I hope people will have heard episode 7. While I was gone, it will have gone up on its own accord while I am away from a computer in Las Vegas. And then, yeah, maybe we'll have another episode recorded shortly thereafter. So we might actually get a week ahead on this.
No, oh, wow. Actually, like, yeah, 2 in
that
a week.
Would be nice because the next time something like this comes up, it wouldn't be bad to be a week ahead. So when you disappear due to being busy with work and other shit for an entire week, because I'm pretty sure after we recorded the last episode and it went up, I didn't hear from you for over a week, which is strange because even though you've been busy, you still kind of pop up and say something on a messenger or on Facebook every once in a while. And you disappeared for a literal week. I was like, what the fuck happened to Steve? And then you got sick. And then you got sick as well. You were sick briefly and then just kind of disappeared. And then I got sick.
I'm sorry, Ryan. You know, if I died like the way you wanted me to in the last episode, you'd never hear from me again. Except in your dreams.
And then I'd have a lot of trouble promoting the podcast.
It's true.
Since the only people that listens to it other than Brendan seems to be your friends.
Hi, Brendan.
Since my friends are apparently assholes who don't support people. I guess we pointed that out like 2 or 3 podcasts ago that my friends are unsupportive douchebags, as are most friends. But
True, true.
Brendan is the most supportive person. I actually talked to him the other night and specifically to tell him that he is incredibly supportive of his friends. And I appreciate that fact because not only did he put Mouthfist Podcast up on Reddit one time, he put it up on there three times that I didn't notice over the course of the past month or two.
Have we gotten people like hating us there yet?
No, nobody's even noticed because it's on like the podcasting subreddit, which people barely pay attention to. Only people really interested in podcasts. Yeah, no comments or anything, barely any upvotes, but yeah, he went to the trouble of not only posting a general Mouthfist one, which I think you knew about, but he also posted one specifically for episodes 4 and 5 when those went up. So that was rather nice of him. So
nice.
Thanks again to Brendan for being supportive. He also put up some of our friend Eric's DJ mixes and stuff on Reddit. So he's very friend supportive. And I appreciate that because I try to be some, but Jesus Christ, dude, people are just not supportive of each other as far as their creative shit goes.
Right. I was going to say, and speaking of being supportive, we also we mentioned the 30th birthday thing for your sister.
Sister-in-law
earlier. And my buddy Ryan Rutley who supports this podcast he celebrated his 30th birthday about a week ago. So
happy birthday, dickbag.
Yeah, yeah.
From the Mouthfist podcast.
And I missed his birthday party because I was sick. So, I failed. Another guy that supports us, who likes to talk about us, is Sean Demore, which I totally forgot to mention
Sean
in the last episode.
Demore. Now that he's been mentioned, he will be showing up in the show notes for 3 consecutive episodes.
Yay!
Sean Demore.
So let's get started with a subject other than essentially trying to guilt people into listening to us.
it doesn't really work when you're doing it on the podcast. You're trying to guilt people into listening to you.
That's true. That's true.
It makes the people that are listening sound like assholes.
Now, first subject, Hunger Games. Now, this has been probably people have already forgotten about Hunger Games probably by the time this comes out. As I don't see the
commercials
on TV.
Will have been a new thing. The world, as I pointed out to Brendan the other night, society will have probably collapsed by that point.
Yeah.
And you and me will be doing our podcast sitting at a coffee table made of cardboard boxes on a pile of rubble covered in soot, talking about the food riots.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. For now, Hunger Games is popular and beating the shit out of everything else at the theater. So, and it is the latest craze in a world that is run out of Harry Potter shit to beat like the proverbial dead horse.
Now, you got to keep in mind, folks, that neither Ryan or myself have seen Hunger Games or have read the books.
No.
I didn't even know Hunger Games existed until about 6 months ago.
I think I heard about it during casting. That was the first time I ever heard because there was a big deal about who's getting cast as the lead in Hunger Games.
I thought it was about like international supermodels or something. I had no idea. But I heard Hunger Games. I'm like, is it about people modeling for Calvin Klein jeans? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I knew anything about it, but I got the impression they were casting a teenage girl in a movie based on a young adult book that was popular, and it was a big deal, kind of like back when they were casting Twilight, and people were all talking about who they cast as Bella and Edward and shit like that. So
how is this stuff popular is my question. It's like, it's popular.
I mean, the young adult section is one of the most popular, most frequented of any bookstore. So,
okay.
I guess they're decent novels, though. Obviously I think we've talked previously amongst ourselves about how it seems like slightly derivative of obviously like Ender's
Battle
Game.
Royale and Ender's Game.
Yeah. And so it's like, it's just a young adult book that seems to be about some sort of dystopian future where people are herded around and teenagers are forced to kill each other for entertainment.
I have a point, but every time I set my point up, you cut in. So I was going to say like that. My point is, what makes these things popular? I seem to notice that the ubiquitous, being advertisers, these companies that put the shit out and whomever else, they will say, this is the big popular thing. It reminds me of the Arctic Air spots I see on CBC where they're like, it's the show everyone's talking about. And I'm like, no one's fucking talking about that show. But now people are talking about it because you said we are. And Hunger Games was like that. I'd never heard of it. I never saw it in the bookstore. I'm in bookstores frequently. Never saw it there. I think I might have like passed it on a shelf. But now they're like, it's the book everyone's talking about. I'm like, is it?
I guess because the market is 12-year-olds.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, it's like, it's one of those, like, the, were people talking about it first?
Yeah, it was really popular, but probably only in the circle of young adults. And I'm probably when the thing got popular, it was not a time period that any of us were exposed to young adults. Because I know you're around teenage, like, preteens right now. But
they don't read. Kids don't read these days.
Apparently, a lot of them do Harry Potter, and they're really into stupid books like Twilight, Harry Potter, Hunger Games, and other stuff. But those are the most noticeable brands, and Hunger Games is the latest one. Though, as we were talked about previously, I think Ender's Game, they're making a movie of that apparently next year. So Ender's Game will also be joining them as something that people will be watching, that young adults will be watching.
By the way, speaking of Ender's Game, which I didn't think it was that bad of a book when it came out, I would like to thank Orson Scott Card for fucking ruining it because you're a giant fucking douchebag.
Well, that's what you get from crazy Mormons.
Well, that's the thing, too, is like, I don't care if I wouldn't have cared if he'd actually killed his wife or something. Like, I would be like, well, that's terrible. It's kind of like with the whole like Roman Polanski thing. I find it difficult to enjoy his stuff because he's kind of a preening douchebag who deserves to go to prison. But on the other hand, I really liked Ninth Gate. So
never actually saw that. I know it's supposed to be pretty good, but I never.
It's a really good movie, and I'm like, fucking goddamn it, that goddamn felonious motherfucker. But the thing is, like Orson Scott Card, it would be like if Roman Polanski's like, not only did I rape her, but I chopped her up and sold her. I sold her bits into slavery, so each part of her is a slave. Like Orson Scott Card is a terrible human being, and I just can't. I won't read anything he does. I won't let my kids read Ender's Game. I'll be like, no, that guy's a cunt. You can't. Not a cunt like Ridley Scott's a cunt. I actually like Ridley Scott. I mean, like an actual giant all caps cunt. Like,
yeah,
I would punch
Ridley
him
Scott
in the face
is just by all accounts an asshole and isn't that great of a filmmaker. He's given a little more credit than he deserves.
But probably not that bad of a guy.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, he's probably not a terrible man.
He's apparently kind of a prick, and a lot of people don't like working with him or something, but
well,
whatever.
He's not tour. Yeah.
But yeah, he's not a crazy religious zealot who writes lunatic horseshit.
Yeah, so I hate you, Orson Scott Card. I hate you. It sucks as the concepts behind Ender's Game, or at least the first book, were pretty cool, especially for the time. But now that they're making this crazy dude, it's like, you know, Twilight is written by a crazy Mormon, and
yeah,
but she keeps her mouth shut about politics, you know, for the most part.
Well, probably because her book is a fucking allegory already.
Well, yeah, when Stephen King comes out and says you're a shitty writer, wow. So, yeah. Not that Stephen King's a shitty writer, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
I'll say he's a shitty writer. I think Stephen
half his
King
shit's
sucks.
Shitty, so.
He's at best mediocre and most of the time terrible.
It depends on what he's writing. I mean, like The Long Walk, Eyes of the Dragon.
The Long Walk.
Gunslinger.
Didn't he basically kind of disavow his early stuff like The Long Walk back in the...
That's really good.
Bachman days.
Why would he disavow that shit?
I think it was mainly because of Rage.
He
utterly has disavowed and will not reprint it ever again and stuff like that.
I don't know why. Rage was pretty good. It's about a kid who kills people at school.
Yeah, it's about taking hostages at school. That's why. He doesn't want to encourage anyone with his literature about taking a high school class hostage.
Look out, Stephen King. I'm currently writing a weird War II comic where, like, Nazi Germans are the stars. Well, they're actually prisoners working for the Nazis. But I guess that means I'm actually supporting Nazism this way. So, Mr. King, haha. Now my readers can become soldiers.
I think it's become a sensitive topic now, and he thinks that that he didn't handle it particularly well in the book. So I don't know.
I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't get Stephen King most of the time. Eyes of the Dragon was okay, but it was a book written for kids, so
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was decent. Most of his other stuff I've read has been pretty mediocre. On Writing was pretty decent.
Yeah, he gives good writing advice.
I mean, it's not his writing advice sucks. It's the autobiographical parts of it that actually are pretty decent.
Oh, those are the only parts I read. Yeah, so
yeah.
His advice parts I kind of glossed over and said like 10 pages a day. No, not doing that. Sorry.
Yeah, most of his advice is not particularly worthwhile for people that actually can write. but his thoughts on stuff I don't find particularly pertinent, but his like autobiographical stuff was a little more interesting, like how he got into writing, what he did to make a living in writing, which I think it's funny for him to give writing advice these days, since nothing he did would have gotten him in like a paycheck in this modern era. It would be impossible for anybody to survive doing the shit he did to make money writing, because he wrote mainly for porn magazines.
Yeah.
Which you don't have outlets like even cheap porn magazines printing fiction anymore. You don't have magazines printing fiction anymore. You don't have people paying money for short fiction to print online or in print anymore.
Nope.
So there is no market for like people to write short fiction. The market doesn't exist anymore, which makes it really fucking hard for anyone to exist in the way that he did. So I don't know how the fuck you're supposed to get into a writer using any advice he has to offer, but
fewer and fewer people are reading books, which is ironically because people are spending more of their time on the internet, which requires a lot of reading. So, you know,
yeah, trading one form of reading for another, the least active form, I guess, but you don't have to use much of your brain to read shit online. Probably because people don't use much of their brain to write shit online either, but...
Ooh, owned. But true.
I don't think it was worth all that, but okay.
But true.
Hunger Games, yeah, the furor over the fucking thing is a little bit much.
I find the Colin Fiore also over it rather sad.
Yeah, I mean, it could be an interesting movie. Like, didn't I mention when we talked about it previously that how could a movie about teenagers killing each other not be R-rated?
Yeah.
Apparently, people that had actually read the book but were going to see the movie to like review it had mentioned, like, I read somebody mention the fact that they were interested to watch the movie just because they thought there could not be a way they could make it and it not be R-rated. Mm-hmm. So apparently it is a fairly violent book.
Yeah.
And it should have translated into an R-rated movie, but obviously didn't.
It has to do with how our culture accepts and interprets violence in media. If it's in a book, like, say, Warhammer 40K novel, which you and I both know are excessively violent, that's fine. That's totally PG book, because you're saying it.
And the words don't matter as much to people, obviously, but you don't even have to be particularly descriptive. You can say he was shot, the guy got shot in the face, and somebody can imagine it, but it's such a benign sentence. I mean, you can print that in a newspaper saying the man was arrested after the victim was shot in the face, or it can be a descriptor in a novel that will be turned into a film that will be rated R for violence. People's imagination is apparently not flexible enough for them to be offended by violent thoughts, but don't mention abortion, people, though. If you mention fucking abortion to people, they'll go apeshit, because apparently imagining the concept of abortion because you mention the word is too much.
Right. Well, let me give you a breakdown as an editor from editing magazines for public consumption. What the breakdown is, like, what constitutes a, like, essentially using movie ratings, rated R versus PG-13 or PG violence. Bob was shot in the face. That's perfectly fine. That's PG. Bob was shot in the face after he pleaded for his life. Still PG. Bob was shot in the face after he pleaded for his life and then was skinned alive and his eyeballs were forced down his throat before he died from bleeding from his face. Bleeding to death from his face. That's PG-13. Yeah. Bob, all that before, and Bob, because that's what the evil cultists wanted to do, back to PG. If you say all that because the evil cultist is you, the reader, and you should be doing this, that's rated R. And, oh, they had sex. If you even say that after that, the situation with Bob, now it's totally rated R and hardcore adult material. That's how books work. That's why the Warhammer books, are, for instance, this is one of many examples, are so ultra violent, and yet there's no sex. They're still like PG, PG-13 kind of thing.
Aside from the fact that there's not a whole lot of time for sex during the middle of a grim future war, but...
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is like, but in movies, when you show it, that's bad. It's kind of like you can have a video game where you murder everybody. As long as the bodies disappear, it's totally cool. But, you know, that's why you'll have, like, games that are way more violent than Halo, but Halo gets the M rating because the bodies stay.
And obviously language is the thing that seems to bother people the most. You use vulgarity and all of a sudden the book is, like, out of line.
Yeah, I don't understand that, how, like, if that's another thing, too, that I want to bring up. If you say, like, and then Bob stabbed the woman 37 times in the torso, twice in the face, four in the left leg, six in the right leg, once in the left arm, and three on the right wrist, and said, I don't like you. That's perfectly fine. That's PG. If you say, Bob did not like what the woman said, and so he said, fuck you, madam, I don't like you. That's rated R. So I don't understand how that works. Like, someone please explain to me why in our society that's normal.
And I like the fact that they constantly say that that's because that kind of language isn't appropriate for children. Like, particularly when they're talking about, like the teacher that got suspended for reading passages from Ender's Game at school.
Mm-hmm.
Got suspended because and one of the parents reported him and said that that it was pornography.
Yeah, those, I mean, I hate to defend Ender's Game because Orson Scott Card's a piece of shit.
It's okay because he said it didn't need to be defended because the dude had read other stuff that was obviously pornographic, so it wasn't the fault of his book. Then it turned out, of course, that it didn't, like, the people had said he had shown pornography to the kids and read other things that were dirty. Turned out to be a lie. I don't think he's commented on it since, but he basically said it wasn't an issue because it never really happened that way, but it did. It was because Ender's Game is apparently pornographic.
Okay. I didn't really get that reading Ender's Game, but
or at least the parent got that reading out of Ender's Games. I don't know how much they actually read. They probably just heard a description of it from their kid, and they assumed it was pornographic based on what they were told.
Well, the thing is, it's not a matter of language or violence or whatever in the sense that, like, what belongs and what doesn't belong. It's that if you're going to talk about extreme acts of violence, then you should be able to use the F word. I don't get why, and this could also launch, and we should probably discuss this sometime, because something recently occurred where someone was, a reporter said the N-word during a news report, quoting somebody, and people flipped their fucking lids over it, as if she was actually saying that to people. Like, I don't even want to say the N-word on our podcast, because the kind of just reaction that it evokes would people lose the entire point. They would lose the entire point that I'm trying to make. No. So, you know, it's, but we could talk about child fucking. That's okay. No one gets offended by that. But say the N word in regards to, like, the history of the word, then people will send us death threats. It's a bizarre,
fucking retarded.
It's a bizarre, well, don't you understand? And then, of course, it would lead us to making comments like, well, of course, because they're the only oppressed people who've ever existed. So it would stuff that would get me in trouble with all of my friends who are of color. Because I'm trying to make a point. And it's and with Hunger Games, and like I said, I haven't read Hunger Games, so might take my opinion with a gigantic grain of salt. But I have read that there are scenes of graphic violence in there. And in the movie, you can always
intimate, the Running Man with kids. It's bound to have some fucking violence.
And you can intimate that there's violence. You don't have to show it. It's like, yeah, one of my favorite things that people say, like, if you took all the swear words out of Seven, would it be a rated R film? There is very little, if any, violence depicted in the film. It is all off screen. You don't see people getting murdered.
Yeah. Though the MPAA obviously rates more on feeling than it does on, like, the fact that it's so dark, they would probably rate it R just based on that and the dead fat guy at the beginning than they would on actual content. Well,
judging from what I'm seeing come out in theaters, it would be PG-13 if you took the fox out.
Well, at the same time, they would probably rate it R just for implying that a guy fucked a woman to death with a dick blade.
Sorry, that makes me laugh every time. By the way, I consider Seven a comedy, folks, so that should give you an idea of what I'm like. So, dick blade. And Hunger Games doesn't have any dick blades, I'm sure, so even though I haven't read
Wasn't Dick Blade a Top Cow comic back in the day?
Dick Blade? No. Dick Blade, that was a Marvel comic. You're thinking of Witchblade, which is only read by dicks. Oh, I'm kidding, Witchblade fans, all six of you who read the comic and don't masturbate. Well, no. People,
they should be feeling shamed after the fucking Yancey Butler TNT Witchblade series back in, what, late 90s, early 2000s?
Ryan, people don't read Witchblade. They masturbate the Witchblade, man. That's what they do.
Those people are too busy reading, looking at the covers of Lady Death issues right now to be listening to podcasts.
I only think in pictures. Masturbation pictures.
You remember when the first issue of that Fathom comic sold an absurd amount of copies because it had a half-naked, water-covered chick on the cover?
Yep. And it's too bad that guy died, too. I mean, he was actually a really nice guy.
Did he die before he wrote any of the issues and they just had art? Because that would make sense. They just took a bunch of art and shoved it in a comic with no story.
Well, he was a very good artist. Yeah. So it was really sad to hear about him die and everything like that. But but the writing, it doesn't make him an awesome writer or whomever was writing it.
I'm not even
sure
those comics had a plot, but.
I don't know. Like, I think if you're going to write a bunch of comics that have really no plot and they're just a bunch of stuff, like I like David Mack's approach, you know, like, which is, I actually enjoy
where Kabuki turned into basically art pieces with meander and horse shit in between.
He gave at one Emerald City Comic Con, he gave me a stack of Kabuki and he just gave it to me. I mean, he's an awesome guy. And I'm like, oh, cool. And I actually really enjoyed looking through and reading his notes. And, you know, like David Mack's a very talented dude. And it was, I've read some of his comics, like he's actually written, and I wouldn't say David Mack's like the best writer in the world, but you know, his ideas are cool. So cool.
I've always hated David Mack, especially because my ex-girlfriend used to read Kabuki.
Okay, don't hate David Mack over that. David Mack is one of the nicest.
It's hard
guys
not to,
books.
Man. It's hard not to.
And he's doing all the Dexter
she
stuff.
She was a stupid, pretentious whore who read Johnny the Homicidal Maniac back before it got popular, and Strangers in Paradise and Kabuki. And I read some issues of Kabuki, and it was the most pointless shit I've ever read. He does very pretty artwork, but my God, was that comic pointless?
Sure.
And Strangers in Paradise, I couldn't believe that shit existed.
I did like Johnny Homicide Maniac. That's one of my favorite comics. So don't be shitting on that.
I thought it sucked, but
I thought it was a breath of fresh air to comics I was sick of reading. So, and I really like Invader Zim.
You see, I fix that problem by just not reading comics.
There you go. But to be fair to David Mack, he is probably one of the nicest people I've ever met and hung out with in any professional entertainment industry, whether it's movies, comic books, TV, music. David Mack wins. Like, he is a fucking awesome guy. He's really, really nice. There's just, when people say he's the nicest guy in comics, they're not kidding. He's super duper nice. And he's very buffed, so it's kind of creepy. You're a big sexy man, Dave. Big sexy man. But yeah.
We've done a lot of rambling. We've got about a half hour of rambling, mainly about Hunger Games.
True. But I was going to say, David Mack is doing something now with Dexter. He's doing like Dexter art stuff. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's good that he's branching out. Yeah. I mean, his stuff that he was doing on his own was just a little blah with the... Mm-hmm. I mean, Kabuki, there was never much to it. It started out as a kind of crappy-looking comic with a lot of plot, and then worked its way down to being full-page, beautifully painted art pieces with little tiny scribbles of, like, text that had nothing to do with the story.
Right.
So, meh. As long as he's making money and happy, I guess.
Yeah, the guy's an amazing artist, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, Hunger Games, I don't think anybody... So if you're a fan of the Hunger Games and you listen to all that, I'm fucking sorry. I am so sorry. because you're like, we've never
I'm sorry
it.
We brought up a topic we know nothing about to mainly complain about people talking about it.
And to fish for hits, obviously. Because someone's going to type in Hunger Games, we're going to come up on someone's search.
Depending on how deep they're willing to dig, I mean, 1,000,007th hit is probably a little low.
Well, you know, kids these days and their weird teenage obsessions.
So what have you been watching lately, Steve? In the interim, in the past 3 weeks of not recording.
Game of Thrones, for one.
Yeah, it was good to have that back. I believe we talked about it the night that the first episode aired. And I think we both agreed that the setup was good, but nothing much really happened in the first episode.
I will admit that I really enjoyed Game of Thrones the first season. I did say some disparaging comments about the first episode, but I was going through a rather dark time in my life. So I rewatched the first season. I re-enjoyed it. I did like the first book, but they're too goddamn long for me to read. So sorry, Mr. Martin. But I've recently caught the Game of Thrones bug, which is I have, you know, I was been going through my Game of Thrones role-playing game. I even found a copy of the old Guardians of Order game. By old, I mean 2004 or 2005. And going through, like, the rundown and everything about the books and the Westeros and the whole thing. And I'm like, now I actually enjoy the credit sequence of Game of Thrones. Because I'm like, oh, you know, because I know about what's going on. I'm still not going to read the novels past the first one. I just won't. I read the first novel in like 1997. So I think it was 97 or 98.
Yeah, I'll probably read them someday, but who knows?
Yeah, they're really long.
As of a couple of days ago, it's been greenlit now for a third season.
Third season. That's so, right. That's what my girlfriend was telling me yesterday.
At least it will be around for a while to, for them to keep working on. I haven't seen the second episode yet, but I assume it's still going well.
My girlfriend made it to like the third book and second or third book. And in her complaint, and I can see this big complaint because I had it with the first book, but it gets worse as the books progress, is that when you're watching Game of Thrones, the TV show, it's like you almost wish it would be like a 2-hour show because it's constantly like jumping from one thing to another and you don't feel like you're getting a full show. It's kind of like, it's what I call hero syndrome, because the first season of Heroes, they jumped around so much you didn't feel like you're getting a full hour of television. You felt like you're getting 20 minutes.
Yeah, you want to see more of a certain character, and instead they're trying to focus on everybody, so you feel like the story is incomplete because you want to get back to what this person's doing or put more focus on one area. They have a problem in a lot of shows. I think Lost tried to combat that by, like, they would often spend an episode focusing more on one character, and then the next episode they'd move back over to this other person, and they kind of bounce back and forth. Usually you'll try to, like, split focus more evenly and not just constantly, like, it's almost like a comedy where it will do, like, a short bit and then switch to another character and then switch back to the other character and show little segments, and each one has, like, is 6 minutes long, and then they'll pop back over to the other people because you can't spend too much time doing this. It feels like that for the show, like they're on a timer or something that they can't show anything more than, like, we got 5 minutes to cover these people, so we got to go.
Well, that's the thing, too, is now imagine reading a novel where it does that the entire time. Yeah. So
a really big fucking novel, too.
Yeah, really big novels.
With, I forget how many characters they've got in the novels as well. I'm sure it's pretty fucking streamlined on the TV series.
And that's the thing, too, is like my focus, I don't know, everyone has their particular focus with Game of Thrones, and mine is the wall. Like, I really want, I love winter stuff, so I enjoy the idea that there's something beyond the wall, like this massive wall, and like these winter strewn hinterlands that are about ready to enter an age of like years of winter. So winter is coming, and I want to know what these things are. Well, these things haven't been heard of for 8,000 years. And what are they? And
haven't been seen since the first episode of the first season.
Yeah. And they did it on purpose too. Like I don't even think they even show that in the first book. They just did it to essentially suck us into. Yeah. Foreshadow and suck us in. And that's cool. But I want to see more like the undead and more like that's what I like to focus on. I love the rest of it. Don't get me wrong. You know, I thought the second episode of second season was great. It's just too short, and it feels too short.
Which
and
at least is something you like. It's a sign of a good show when you hate that an episode is ending. That an hour long show, you're like, oh god damn it, there needs to be another episode right now.
Yeah. Well, unless it's like really boring and long, like Walking Dead, in which case I'm just gonna watch them all back to back, so I don't have to sit around and wait.
Barely worth it. I mean, I just finished the second season of Walking Dead, and some stuff actually happens towards the end that's like, finally, we're moving along, but it took an entire second season to do that. It took them way too many episodes for way too little to happen.
My biggest complaint from people I try turning onto that show is, why are they stretching everything out so much? Just fucking make it happen. Like,
because apparently they did not have enough plot to work on or something. Fucking idiots.
There's a survival show that did way better in story and has no zombies or anything supernatural or whatever. And that's called Survivors. I don't know if you ever watched it. It was a British show. Way more interesting. Like, they got to find water. Oh, my God. And it's way more interesting and compelling than Walking Dead, which sucks because I've been reading the comics as it came out, and I'm sort of Maybe I'm just bored. Like I've said before, maybe I'm just bored of the whole zombie thing. I don't know.
I think the way they left it at the very end, I think maybe they were setting up to get back more in line with some of the comic stuff with the third season.
Yeah, yeah. Bringing in, what's her name? McCone. Is it McCone?
I have no idea. McCone? I've been reading
the comics. Bringing the sword-carrying black female protagonist. There you go.
Oh, no. So, you barely, like, spoilers, you barely see her at the very end of the very last episode. And you don't even know who it is. They're wearing a hood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I don't give a flying shit if someone felt like they got spoiled. The comic's been out for years.
I think they were setting up the penitentiary.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The prison.
What was it?
That'll be interesting.
The prison with, the governor or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I read about that. All I know is they do a big pan back at the very end of the very last episode, and there's a giant building through the across the woods, which to me looked like a jail, so I assumed it was setting it up for, because I read, I guess, some spoilers back when the first season started about like some of the shit that happened in the future in the comics. So,
well, one of the things I've noticed with entertainment is movies are a lot more compact and have a lot more ADD elements and try to explain as much as possible in a 1.5 hour period. And TV shows take that same 1.5 hour and turn it into 13 episodes of material. Stretching everything out and making everything long, like a giant decompressed comic book. You know,
except
what I mean?
For really good shows. The really good shows,
like Justified,
Justified. Holy shit!
Something happens every goddamn episode, kids.
I can't believe it's the end of the fucking season for that. I still haven't watched the last episode yet, but holy shit, that show is so good.
I need to catch up. But I know it's going to be awesome.
I like the fact that every season is better than the season before,
and something happens every episode.
And Neil McDonough has been so goddamn good this season.
When isn't he good?
When he's stuck in crappy movies like Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Or Timeline.
Playing, who did he play in that? I think he played M. Bison. As super white Irish businessman raised on the streets of Hong Kong or something.
Yeah. Neil McDonough, just so you guys know, he's like the guy with the very blue eyes and very blonde curly hair. Sometimes they put him in dark hair.
Or in the case of Justified, have it as a buzz cut, but yeah.
Yeah, and he was in Band of Brothers. He played Buck in Band of Brothers.
He usually plays like really asshole-y villain types, really
or military
sinister
types.
And yeah, really militaristic stuff.
He was in Timeline too, which was a terrible waste of his skills, but
yeah. But wasn't it for everyone?
Oh,
it was
Jesus
it was
Christ,
it was mediocre.
Adaptation.
It wasn't like bad, it was just meh, it was boring.
Yeah, yeah.
But, that's ending. I'm sure Sons will be coming back soon, and apparently they announced that Jimmy Smits is going to be on it this season.
Sons of Anarchy is always a good show to watch. Never disappointed with that, ever. So, some episodes are better than others, but honestly, like, that's another show where something always happens every episode.
Yeah.
And they don't stretch things out very much.
And in about a month, I think they're going to start showing the final season of Damages, which will be good.
I haven't seen that at all.
Damages was really good for the first three seasons. The fourth season was a little less good, but they had a smaller budget, a shorter number of episodes, and it was being made exclusively for DirecTV to be shown on one of their channels because FX canceled it. But DirecTV gave them a 2-season deal doing 2 10-episode seasons.
Oh, well, that's cool. DirecTV has its own TV show.
Oh, they have all sorts of channels that are just theirs. But they have their own like horror channels, and this particular one is called the Audience Network that shows Damages. So it's interesting stuff. I mean, it's a really good show. It'll be sad to see it gone because it's nice to watch Rose burn as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and The Killing came back on AMC.
What was it?
The Killing.
Yeah,
it's an adaptation of the Swedish show. It was on last season on AMC. It's kind of a murder mystery somewhere between Twin Peaks and Insomnia or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty shitty. It's still shitty in the second season. You want to know about a show that takes an hour and a half worth of material and spreads it out over a whole season? The Killing are the fucking masters of that shit.
Oh, yeah, because it's about one murder, right?
Yeah, they still haven't saw, like, people thought you were going to finally find out who the killer was at the end of the first season. Nope, don't find that shit out to the end of the second season. It's just, like, red herrings and boring investigations for, like, the entire first season, and now saw the first two episodes, which they showed as a single episode on premiere night. I haven't watched the third episode yet, but dude,
not gonna watch
it's still
that.
Not going anywhere. I'm still going to watch it because it's very pretty looking, and it's filmed in Vancouver, but it takes place in Seattle. It has some interesting scenery and a lot of cool flyover shots of Seattle and stuff, but yeah. It's some good actors with a really boring plot. I mean, it's pretty well made. It could be a good show, but it's not. It's what happens when you let fucking Europeans write American television.
Boo. And also, speaking of Europeans, Iron Sky was released.
Finally. Wow. Yeah. How long has that movie been in the works?
Since, like,
or they've been talking about it? Like,
I think.
Wow, has it been that long? I was going to say like 2007.
I don't know. I think I remember
you mentioning it when it was getting like popular and people were initially talking about the idea.
I mentioned it
back
on
around
Live
like
Journal.
2006. Yeah, I think it was around 2006. I think I remember you mentioning it
on Live Journal. Remember Live Journal, kids? Remember Live Journal? No, you don't. Okay.
Of course, I remember it because I was there.
I was on Live Journal.
It's the reason we fucking know each other. So.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, not pretty much. That's exactly why we know each other. It's Live Journal. But Iron Sky, yeah, it's got Udo Kier. It's Nazis in space. It's got Nazi spaceships, moon Nazis coming out of space zeppelins, and it's got Leibach doing the soundtrack, which is fucking awesome.
It'll be interesting to watch. It looks really strange and probably somewhat campy, but it'll be an interesting film. Just as like a total experiment in filmmaking.
I just can't wait to see it.
It'll be something to see.
I know it's like going to be like, remember that Warhammer 40K fan film, Damnatus, that was...
Yeah,
that
I saw like a minute or two of that, and I was like, yeah, that was bad. It just looked so terrible, I didn't want to watch it.
Damnatus, I watched the whole thing. It's terrible. It's beyond terrible. It's like, no wonder Games Workshop wanted to bury the shit out of that. That movie was fucking terrible. And people say like, well, I don't understand German... So maybe if you don't understand German, like I understand German and it's still terrible. It's a terrible film. So don't look at that. But Iron Sky, on the other hand, I'm assuming it's just going to be campy and fun and rather silly.
Yeah. Here's hoping. It looks like it could be good. Speaking of campy and silly, watch the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter trailer again. Still looking forward to that. And I'd forgotten last time we talked about it that it's directed by Timur Bekmambetov.
Yep. Mr. Wanted.
Yeah, the director of Wanted and Night Watch and Day Watch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's a great director. I didn't like Night Watch and really hated Day Watch, but that was more the writing. His direction is always pretty great, especially for low-budget Russian films. And then Wanted is one of my favorite movies.
Well, Wanted, you want to enjoy... Okay, here's the thing. Wanted's fun, but if you really want to enjoy Wanted, read Mark Miller's initial comic books that the movie's based on.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll make the movie be like a million times better, because those comics were terrible.
They were shitty. Shitty.
They were just terrible. They weren't even good in a bad way. Like,
really, it basically just borrowed the name, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I wanted to read the comics to find out what that was about after watching the movie, read them, and then was like, wow, I'm glad they didn't make that.
Kick-Ass is another good example.
Aside from the fact that it wouldn't make any goddamn sense, because the entirety of Wanted was, like, very specific parodies of other comic villains. So if you didn't know, like, about those specific characters, then it would be completely lost on you.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, Kick-Ass was a much more direct adaptation of the same kind of thing.
But it was better as a film. So
it was better as a film, but, well, it was better as a film than as a comic. And it was better than Wanted, I guess. It was better than the Wanted comic, but it still wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Kick-Ass. It's just too silly and stupid.
I enjoyed it.
It just doesn't fit quite right. There's just something about it that just never sat well with me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like Super did the same thing, but better. But
I understand that that kind of mentality. Like, I really should like Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow, but I fucking hated it. I don't know. I don't know why.
I liked that movie.
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, I haven't rewatched it, but when I saw it, I almost wanted to throw my remote control through my television screen in disgust. I don't know why. There's something about it I did not like at the time.
Maybe you should watch it again sometime soon, just to see if you enjoy it now that you've calmed down. You're off the wheat.
Off the wheat.
which our code word for heroin. But let's hope he doesn't have any wheat relapses. So now that you're off the smack and life is very different for you, for me now, I wonder if you can appreciate it as a, what was for the time, a pretty impressive special effects, especially for how low budget they were. Mm-hmm. And just kind of a campy, fun, light, pulp, old film serial.
People always don't understand. Like, they're like, what do you mean you don't like Sky Captain and World Tomorrow, Steve? That sounds like the movie written specifically for you. And I'm like, I know. I can't understand. But I've only ever tried to see it once. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty decent. I liked it at the time. A lot of people I knew didn't like it, including you. But, I mean, it was just a film about...
Yeah.
That's like a throwback to the 1940s serials about a dude in a plane fighting giant robots and stuff. It's... Of course, I also kind of liked Van Helsing, and everybody else also...
Oh, yeah, I hated Van Helsing. That was absolute just bullshit. It was just terrible.
Of course, I was enjoying it. It's just kind of a fun family film, but which is what it is. I mean, it was basically they were trying to do The Mummy, but with other Universal monsters.
Right. I will say, like, I don't understand why you wouldn't really love Hit Girl the film, but whatever.
Yeah, Hit Girl I like. I really like Chloe Moritz, too. She's great. And she's going to be absurdly fucking hot when she's an adult.
I don't think not a girl, little not, girl's like that.
Oh, whatever. She, just because she's not Asian and 10 doesn't mean that you can just cast her aside, Steve.
We're going to jail.
But yeah, she's all, like... I thought like Dakota Fanning was pretty cute, and like she was definitely getting very cute in like
Push
when she was getting older. I was like, yeah, in a couple years she's going to be a fully grown adult. She's going to be pretty hot. And now she's like a hot 18-year-old, 19-year-old girl. And Chloe Moritz is actually substantially more attractive. So I think she's going to have a big fucking career. She's actually a really good actress, too.
Oh, yeah. She's an amazing actress. Like her.
You haven't watched 30 Rock this season, have you? Because she's been on there some, and she's really funny, too.
Not much, no. My girlfriend hates 30 Rock. My girlfriend hates 30 Rock.
Oh, fuck your girlfriend, man. Woman,
like me too.
What is wrong with you? I'm talking directly to you, Nicole.
What's wrong with you? 30 Rock's awesome.
Apparently most of your taste is coming off of Steve's dick, but come on, woman.
She did enjoy Tosh.0, though.
Which is strange, but...
We watched, like, a one-day marathon while we were...
Yeah, sick. Shreya likes Tosh.0, but can't handle some of the more disgusting things on there.
Yeah, yeah. Nicole didn't like the mainly the breakings.
The breakings are out of the question. The giant pimples and stabbings and stuff like that. When the dude gets the piece of wood through his face, when the guy has the giant back pimple that gets cut open.
Yeah.
That type of shit is just out for her. The vomiting gets to be a bit much, not because it bothers me, but because it's just kind of like, it's not funny. I don't get the humor in just watching dudes vomit.
You don't watch Family Guy. You don't understand.
Oh, I fucking hate Family Guy. I actively hate everything Seth MacFarlane does, so.
Aww.
I'm sure he's crying about that one.
You're not going to watch Ted?
Haven't seen the trailer for it. Don't know if I'll care. I find Seth MacFarlane to be an interesting guy. But I also don't like anything he does, and I find the fact that he says he doesn't watch any television to be pretty annoying, especially since he pollutes fucking television with his shit. The fact that he isn't forced to watch it really bothers the shit out of me.
I think it's funny. I was going to say, you do watch Robot Chicken, right?
Very occasionally, like once or twice a year, I'll watch an episode which inevitably ends up being a rerun from the first season.
Aww. I watch Robot Chicken almost nightly.
I don't watch Adult Swim. I fucking hate the Cartoon Network. Jesus Christ, everything on Adult Swim is so goddamn bad. Especially all this live action shit. It's like, I thought like the stuff in the first couple of years of Adult Swim was mediocre, but often funny. But I look back and that shit was the best Adult Swim has ever been, was those first like 2 or 3 years when it was Harvey Birdman, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, C-Lab, and Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
That was a great era, but you got to understand, up here, it's Teletoon at night, and in Canada, because Canada is not cool enough to have Adult Swim, although they are doing the Canadian Cartoon Network up here, which will be some kind of premium channel or something, but But Teletoon Tonight does it. So basically, our programming is Futurama, Family Guy, American Dad, and Robot Chicken Nightly. And then the Dating Guy, which is like the Canadian show that sucks so much giant balls. It is the worst fucking show, one next to Sons of Butcher, which is also a very bad fucking show.
Canadian television hasn't really impressed me. But then again, I don't think British television has really impressed me either, except for panel shows. That seems to be the only thing I like watching of British television.
There are some brilliant Canadian shows out there. Todd and the Book of Pure Evil is really good. Lost Girl is a really fun Canadian version of True Blood.
Yeah, I was actually reading about that yesterday, because I guess it was the season finale, and a television reviewer was talking about how shitty the season of Lost Girl was, and how all the writing was really badly handled.
Which I guess
makes it a lot like True Blood then.
Pretty much.
It's very much like True Blood if the writing was terrible.
And there's also a kid's show that is a lot of fun to watch, even if you're an adult, called Spliced. And that's, it's a quite an entertaining, you'd probably enjoy it. It's a cartoon show. Look it up. It's a pretty, pretty funny show. Oh, and the people on the Space Network, that's Sci-Fi Network for Canada, that do a show called Inner Space, are kind of amusing to watch. Because they're Canadians, so they have their American commentators and hosts will never equate to Canadian ones, because Canadians are always non-ostentatious and look more like normal people. So, the woman on Inner Space, I forget her name offhand. She's attractive, but she's also kind of meaty and curvy. So it's a kind of a nice change of pace rather than watching G4's Attack of the Show Chicks that are like sticks. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Canadian television is different. Like when you watch CBC News up here, unlike CNN and other news, everyone kind of looks, first of all, half the news reporters are Indian, as in from India, and they are in varying states of Old Navy clothes or something. Like, they're not dressed very well. None of them are. And they are all rather, they're this kind of normal looking people. It's like they're cast in their role specifically because they look like a dude you're not at the bar having a beer with, unlike, say, CNN, where everyone looks like they just came out of a factory. It's very interesting, how the Canadian. So anyway, back to my point, though, Teletoon at Night is what I deal with up here, which sounds like it's better than Adult Swim in many respects. But yeah. Then again, you probably don't like Wonder Chosen, so.
I only saw a few little bits of Wonder Chosen, and it seemed okay. It wasn't fucking Tim and Eric, because they are the fucking antithesis of comedy. There's nothing fucking funny about Tim and Eric. I immediately kind of dislike and distrust people that think Tim and Eric are actually funny, including the various comedians that show up in Tim and Eric shit. I assume there has to be something wrong with them if they think it's actually amusing. Because they've never done anything even slightly funny. Like, Tom Goes to the Mayor was fucking terrible.
That was a terrible show.
Awesome Show is fucking doubly terrible. Now they got all these shows that are exactly like it. Live action shows that are just like Tim and Eric shit. So now that's what Cartoon Network is nothing but a bunch of live action shows that aren't funny.
Actually, if you want to see Tim and Eric stuff that's funny, check out Picnic Face. It's a Canadian show. It shows up here on the Comedy Network. That's Comedy Central for Canadians. Everything's different up here in Canada. It's like it's a different country or something. And Picnic Face is an absurd, bizarre. It's like White as Kids You Know meets Tim and Eric if Tim and Eric were actually funny.
I've heard of Picnic Face. I just can't.
Oh, it's fucking weird,
I can't,
dude.
Place it.
I love it. I love Picnic Face. It's some of the episodes you just kind of scratch your head and go, that was very strange. But it's always enjoyable.
You know what we haven't talked about at all? The Raven. That's coming out soon.
Oh, I wouldn't even know what the fuck you're talking about until I saw the preview last night on television.
Really? Because I saw that a few months ago. I mean, it's fucking James McTeague, who was, I think, assistant director or cinematographer for the Wachowski brothers for several years, and then directed V for Vendetta and Ninja Assassin, and now did The Raven with John Cusack as Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, and it seems like, to me, from what I gather from the commercial, The Raven is a film that's like one of those films where you see H.P. Lovecraft as a detective. which, yeah, as, and I know I've bitched about historical verisimilitude before and historical accuracy, but I'm totally okay with films like this. So,
and obviously Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's going to be better than the book. People say like, oh, I love the book. I'm like, do you even read? The book is fucking horrible, but the idea is cool. So whatever. The idea is awesome.
But yeah, the Raven is apparently murders taking place that first seems similar, but then exactly like Edgar Allan Poe's stories. So somebody is a copycat of his, the methods that people die in his stories, and he's brought in to help solve the crime.
I'm looking forward to it. And also I like seeing Edgar Allan Poe as like John Cusack, as opposed to him being like this tiny little sad little man, which he was.
Yeah.
He's like this sad little man that coughed a lot.
Of course, Abraham Lincoln was a tall, lanky dude with a screechy voice that would have irritated the shit out of everyone that heard it. He apparently sounded like this. So that's apparently what Abraham Lincoln sounded like. He had a screechy voice.
Well, it's like Patton. Patton apparently had a higher voice, like how he's portrayed in the movie Patton. Is similar.
He's portrayed as George C. Scott in the movie Patton.
Well, he's apparently in Patton. They do a great portrayal of Patton, except for his voice, which is a bit higher or something like.
But yeah, this is obviously not the time period that George C. Scott would have been affecting a particular tone of voice just to play the character.
Yeah.
It's not like he's playing fucking Truman Capote or something.
No.
It's not a major component of who Patton was.
No. Patton was a badass general. That's all you need to know.
He was kind of a fucking lunatic.
But a good kind. He wasn't a bad man. He was simply... No. I mean, that whole...
He was like, just a wild motherfucker.
Even the guy he smacked came out and said that he didn't really hold it against Patton that much. And he actually came out and defended Patton quite a bit in the press. You know, and Patton did go back and apologize and et cetera, you know, so Patton was willing to admit he made a mistake if he did. Back to The Raven. So that looks cool.
Yeah, and that's coming out soon, too. So there might actually be some good movies out soon, obviously.
Hey, what about Dread? Isn't Judge Dread coming out like September 21st? It's my mom's birthday.
I have no idea. I have not been paying attention to it at all, obviously. Not a movie aimed at me, personally. It's coming out September 21st.
That's my mom's birthday. It's easy to remember. And why I haven't... Because someone said, for Cabin in the Woods, I wouldn't even call it a rumor. So somebody on IMDb said, wouldn't it be cool if we got to see the preview in Cabin for Woods, see the preview for Dread, but I haven't seen any... I think I can talk about this now. I've known about the Dread movie since 2007. I won't say who told me, but a very close source of the film told me that the film was in production. At the time, they were considering Ron Perlman for Judge Dredd. And so it was really cool. I can actually say that I think I knew about Judge Dredd before other rumor people knew about it at the time, but I think I came back right back and told you about it, but I know about Judge Dredd making a film, but then, what's 6 years later, 5 years later, there's Dredd finally.
And it's only a few months away from coming out now, so it's not surprising anyone.
The only thing that's the same from when they told me back in 2007, that's DNA doing the film. That's the production studio of Danny Boyle's and Alex Garland's production studio.
Yeah, because Alex Garland wrote it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and
which should be interesting, because I think everything I've seen of Alex Garland's I like, so I'll be interested to see what he did with the script for this thing, because obviously there's never been anything about Judge Dredd that interested me enough to care, so hopefully his script is good.
Yeah, $45 million.
Though I'm pretty sure I did see the Sylvester Stallone movie in the theater. If that makes any difference to anyone, I'm sure it doesn't. I know it doesn't to me.
I was going to say I'm a little bit saddened by I saw a supposed poster. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how when they start really advertising Dread, how it's going to go. And yes, I too saw it in a theater when it came out. I actually own Judge Dread on DVD. Yeah. And while I hate it, I still watch it. Because I'm a huge fan.
I guess the ABC Warrior at least ended up looking cool, but
yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm a huge fan.
I mean, when you
fan.
Build a fucking full size animatronic, it better look good.
The Judge Dredd film was pretty good in many ways, except for the fact it's not really Judge Dredd. I know a lot of people will say that, oh, well, blah, 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 comic fans angered, da, da. I'm like, well, no, it's Judge Dredd is a satire. And really, Judge Dredd needs to be a British production because it satirizes American culture. So you can't, I really believe that you can't do very good American satire as an American. I mean, you can try. Idiocracy is a great example of American satire.
Yeah.
Done by an American.
People just have to know they're going into it as a satire of America.
Right.
Which I don't think was a clear intent of Judge Dredd in any way whatsoever.
No, and it's kind of sad because just in a, not, like, not to get too detailed, but the guy who directed Judge Dredd wrote in, like, I have an issue of 2000 AD.
Danny Cannon, the man responsible for all of CSI.
Yeah, yeah. He
and most every other TV show these days.
From what I understand, he wrote into 2000 AD with sketches and stuff like that and said he wants to one day direct Judge Dredd. And he was like a teenager. And I have the issue in my pile of 2000 AD somewhere. Because I remember somebody mentioning it and I flipped through, found it. And I have a shitload of 2000 ADs. So they've come out weekly since 1977. You figure that out, how many I have. I've got hundreds, if not thousands of them. And
yeah, I'm sure he probably didn't enjoy the process because he was, I mean, obviously he was a fan, but he was a young director with a lot of promise. He was critically acclaimed for doing The Young Americans back in the early 90s.
Well, I mean, even by today's standards, I just watched a Judge Dredd film. I watch it like twice a year. I mean, like...
penance.
It's not that bad of a movie. I mean, it's really not. By today's standards, it looks great. Is the acting good? Yeah. Are the costumes kind of silly? Of course. It's Judge Dredd. Is about Rob Schneider. I'm like the only human being alive who doesn't hate Rob Schneider, so I didn't really find him that annoying. It's just not Judge Dredd. It's just not 2000 AD Judge Dredd. It's the
movie had like one major factor in favor of it, and that was Diane Lane was so fucking hot in that movie.
Oh dude. And that's the other thing too, is Judge Dredd, it's the American version, right? So they have the romance between Hershey and Dredd, which they never have a romance in a comic. Dredd doesn't have a romance with anybody. In fact, DeMarco, I believe it's Judge DeMarco, when she falls in love with Judge Dredd, she loses her badge and becomes a private investigator because you just don't date as a judge. And Dredd is like the fucking law, yo. And here's the thing, though, is he, with all that, they actually started an American comic of Judge Dredd, which was a reboot of Judge Dredd and a different storyline, and it was more serious, less of a satire. And Gordon Rennie wrote those comics, or a few of them anyway, by the way.
Yeah.
So you had like a British, the guy who would go on to write some of the best Judge Dredd I have ever read, that includes John Wagner's Dredd, the creator.
Yeah.
Actually wrote some of these I have all the comics. I have all the American ones. I have most of the, it's like this bizarre compulsion I have. I'll buy any Strontium Dog or 2000 AD or Judge Dredd comic that was re-released in the States in the American comic format, because the 2000 AD comics are like giant thin magazines. To give me, you know, they look like copies of Spin magazine or something. Or Rolling Stone. Actually, they look like Rolling Stone. They're like the same kind of material. Between that and Parade magazine. And I both really enjoyed and was really, really disappointed in the original Judge Dredd or Dredd film. And also, I don't know whose idea was it to have The Cure do the Judge Dredd theme, but whatever. So
yeah, not a great idea under any circumstances.
No, I love The Cure. I fucking love The Cure, but I was like, what the fuck? That's like getting, we're going to do Schindler's List and Slayer is doing the soundtrack. It doesn't make any sense. Let's just do it.
It would have been just as bad if fucking Placebo did the soundtrack to Schindler's List.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either end of the spectrum is not going to work for that movie.
No, but I'm just saying it's, or we're going to do Passchendaele with Slayer doing the soundtrack. Like, having The Cure do the Judge Dredd soundtrack doesn't make any sense.
No, most bands should not be doing songs for movie soundtracks anymore. It just doesn't fit.
You know who should have done the Judge Dredd soundtrack? Was Anthrax. With I Am the Law, which is a fucking classic.
St- still probably a little cliche. It probably, you know what, you, if they put like a Terminator style soundtrack with Judge Dredd, that probably would have been pretty appropriate. Like the sound of like clanging metal and,
well, yeah, but
and beating drums would have been good.
But and the other thing people seem to forget too is either they make Judge, they think of Judge Dredd as too science fiction or it's too satire, when in fact it's a fine blending of all of that. There are some great storylines in Judge Dredd, essentially, like, you know, where Judge Dredd reads a letter of a little boy about democracy and stuff. Because you got to remember, like, Judge Dredd is a part of a totalitarian regime, and he's kind of a bad guy, good guy, and he's moved by these things. And then later on, there's stories where Judge Dredd develops a personality because he discovers he's got mutants for relatives, so that he's might be descended from mutant stock and blah blah blah. There's a lot there. I could go on. I could do an entire like series of podcasts about Judge Dredd. But
yeah.
So I'm excited about the film. I will be the first one to see it on opening night. I will be there. So I've been excited about a Dredd film.
I do not doubt it.
Yeah. And like people say Watchmen and they were excited about that. Fuck Watchmen. I'm going to watch Dredd. Spider-Man. Fuck Spider-Man. I'm watching Dredd.
I hate the Watchmen, but I was really excited to see the movie. I saw it in IMAX on like opening day or day after or something.
Speaking of that, yesterday while I was flipping through the channels, I saw BBC, and guess who was on BBC? On some show called Hard Talk.
Who?
Alan Moore.
Oh, that crazy motherfucker. I was wondering how this related back to Watchmen. I was like, who? Zack Snyder? Harry Dean Moore?
Yeah.
Who the fuck
I mean, it was like he actually had some pretty funny things to say, and you know, I like seeing Alan Moore speak. I mean, his ideas on pornography and stuff are very interesting. Talking about like Lost Girls and, you know, his other and society and
yeah, the man's a bit nuts, unfortunately, and fortunately, I guess.
The interviewing being British had, you know, pressed him, you know, because that's how British are. They like the, you know, like if you're going to make some of the better interviewers in the world are the British. And, you know, like the interviewer pressed him a bit about like him taking his name off the credits and giving all the money for V for Vendetta and the Watchmen films to the artists and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he was pretty interesting. So,
yeah. On the other hand, the British also have probably some of the worst tastes of any group of people. They consume more shitty reality television than even Americans do. They're more obsessed with the most minute, retarded details of the lives of celebrities and idiot other people. Like, a lot of our shitty American reality televisions come from even shittier British reality television.
Also, Marmite.
And they import all of our terrible shows. Like, shit that got canceled in America, they showed the entire seasons of on British television.
Also, Marmite. Have I mentioned Marmite? Brits eat Marmite. And, yeah.
So, yeah. Like I said, not a huge fan of British television, except for panel shows.
I've been watching
nonstop lately.
I love British comic books. They're probably the only comic books I still read regularly.
Just got done watching 5 seasons of Would I Lie to You?
No.
Of which David Mitchell is a team captain on that show.
You have to admit, the Brits do awesome historical documentaries. Like last night I watched the first part of Tony's Law, which is Tony Robinson from Blackadder. You know, Baldrick?
No, I never watched Blackadder. I watched the first 2 episodes of the first series back when I was in college. That was it.
Well, remember the assistant guy, Baldrick?
No.
He's kind of like
telling you know how bad my memory is. This was 1996. Right. No, no.
Well, the really dirty, disheveled dude that's like Blackadder's sidekick, Baldrick, is played by a guy named Tony Robinson. And Tony has his own show of historical documentaries, including one like where he does like dirty jobs and going through like, you know, this is a sewer collector or something like that. A dung collector, I think, is one of them. And then, of course, there's he has a show called Tony's Law where he goes.
Does he do a thing where he like looks at medieval jobs and stuff?
Yeah,
I think I may have seen some clips from that show.
Yeah, he's a great host and he's funnier than shit. And well, medieval jobs, you might get that mixed up with Terry Jones or like the Medieval Lives, which is also basically.
I can't remember. I know I just saw something fairly recently where there was somebody talking about like life and. I forget how far back in British history and what it was actually like and talking about jobs in a castle, basically.
No, that could have been Terry Jones, Medieval Lives.
Maybe. I would have thought I would have remembered Terry Jones, but apparently not.
If you're going to watch a documentary on history stuff, make sure it's a British one, because they make the best. Whether it's Roman, a lot of medieval stuff, even the American Civil War, I'm pretty sure would have a better documentary as done by British people. British people make the best. So.
You do have to give credit to...
Ken Burns?
Yeah, Ken Burns. Yeah, you got to give credit to Ken Burns. He's a champ as far as documentaries go.
He is.
It's just his subject matter is usually not of interest to me. Like, I could not give a shit about baseball or jazz or the Civil War.
Yeah. The Civil War documentary is great when it came out, but at the time, when it came out, people compared it to a British documentary. So they were like, it's kind of like a British documentary. That's just what they do really well.
I can imagine the British documentary was a lot more facts and a lot less like personal stories.
No, that's the thing is British documentaries. It's more like it's usually some kind of celebrity. It's usually a comedian of some kind because they tend to be the ones. Well, you watch those videos of that dude. What's his name? You're always linking me to
David Mitchell.
Yeah, David Mitchell.
Yeah.
It's like that. That's like the basis of the normal British documentary.
They like comedic style of stuff. I mean, yeah, a lot. Stephen Fry does a lot of documentaries.
And it's not just that. There's the guy that was in. What's his fucking name? He did the show Conquest. He was in Babylon 5. He's like this bald British dude.
But Britain does have a lot of crazy, weird historical documentary stuff.
Well, the thing is, they're usually tongue in cheek. And it's a British humor. I mean, that guy's name is Peter Woodward. Okay. That's actually a really good, it was called Conquest. He teaches a small group of assistants a particular type of weapon or set of weapons from a particular time period while demonstrating their function, describing their comparative advantages and disadvantages, and discussing their history. It's quite good. I enjoy that show. But anyway, before I go, I just also like to say that I've been playing through the Temple of Elemental Evil again. Great game. If you haven't played it, purchase it from GOG, GOG.com, and get the Circle of Eight mod pack that patches everything up, because like most of the all Troika games, they needed the serious patching.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we missed it. We're not exactly a timely podcast, but... yeah, hope you people got the free Fallout that was up for 48 hours on GOG a few.
That's right, and also
like a week or two back.
There's a new game out on GOG.com that is called The Legend of Grimrock, and I've already gotten from one of my smart-assed friends, me Grimlock, hate Optimus Prime, which is totally when I read Grimrock. Me too, Ben. Me too. And it's a game designed to basically be a homage to Ultima Underworld, Dungeon Master, but with better graphics. So it's an old school first-person dungeon crawl.
Yeah. It looked interesting while also looking like something I'd be terrible at and therefore wouldn't want to play. But the graphics look kind of pretty. So I wasn't sure if it came across more like a Oblivion Skyrim type game or if it was going to be more tactical and would require finesse, which I don't have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bought it, and I will say that I haven't played it yet. In fact, I installed it before we did these podcasts, so I'll play it later.
A full review to be heard in 3 or 4 weeks.
That's right.
Check back next month for more details.
I got my hands on Crypts and Things as well, which is essentially a D&D variant. It's a variant of Swords and Wizardry, and it's okay from what I've read. It could be better written, but it's an inspiration to me to make my own stuff anyway. So, I mean, it's not bad. And perhaps next time I could talk more about it as I go through it more.
Yeah. I finished Mass Effect 3 finally. If anybody at all gives a shit about the ending of that and my thoughts on it, then ask, and I may actually tell you at some point, but I'm sure I have many thoughts about that in the upcoming DLC and the free multiplayer DLC that was released on either the 10th or 11th of April. And I also am up to 325 hours in Skyrim now, so.
And I haven't played Skyrim.
Yeah.
But I am
I've done about all I can possibly fucking do. I've played two characters pretty fully through the game. One is my good guy character, and therefore I couldn't do like a lot of stuff. I refused to be part of the Thieves Guild. I killed the entire Dark Brotherhood. So it's like my weird role playing of a specific character actually prevented me from doing a lot more stuff. But then I played an evil character and did fucking everything in the game, basically. And now I'm just dicking around with different character builds. Like, I'm playing a guy that, without using any weapons or magic, just beating people to death with my fists. Which they removed hand-to-hand as a skill from the game, so it's actually substantially more difficult. So I'm just running around trying to beat people up, playing some sort of weird monk character where I only, like, use healing magic and my fists.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going well so far. It's really fucking hard, but eh, whatever fills the time, I guess.
Yep. Well, I guess that's it for this episode, and I spent way too much time talking to you.
Yeah. 8 in the can, so...
Woo!
Well, episode 8 in the can. That's now 9 episodes that we've recorded,
mm-hmm.
which has turned into 10 actual weeks of episodes.
Wow.
So, huzzah for us.
I know, and I think we'll be recording next week probably as well.
Hopefully.
When we get back, so we'll probably have 2 back-to-back.
I'll be very impressed when we get up to 52 weeks of recorded episodes.
True.
But, hey, we're a fifth of the way through an entire year of recording.
Wow.
It's almost like we're screaming into the void and no one gives a shit.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, folks. Ryan, last word is yours.
Tune in next week for more 10-year-old Asian girls.